I know. Y'all like, what the fuck? Welcome to the Bitch Pity with Jonathan Chandler. I am your host, of course, Jonathan Chandler. And yes. I know. I've been off. It's been a while. There's a lot to talk about. But I gotta be real with y'all. I recorded an episode before this, right? I did. I recorded an episode, a 40-minute episode. Y'all will never listen to that episode because there were so many things that I missed out. There were just so many things that I felt like I forgot to talk about. And this is the reason why I need to make sure I have like program notes and whatnot, because oh my gosh, like I literally talked about Roni without talking about like Leah's antics, and we were having conversations about race on the Housewives, and I didn't incorporate certain things. So I was like, fuck it, you know what? I know exactly what I want to talk about now. At least I'm being real with y'all. I'm not gonna act like this is my first take, but welcome to the show. I have missed y'all. I really have. You know, I'm very transparent on the show. I am a college student before anything else, and I think I let that kind of get in the way of my own identity and my own career. I just wasn't active. I just wasn't active. I didn't have any type of desire to record for numerous reasons. Number one, y'all heard the last episode. I went on a trip, y'all. So this is what happened. I said, I need a motherfucking break. I did. I went with my homegirl. I said, we need a motherfucking break. Let's go to San Diego. We went to SD. It was amazing, right? Then, I don't know if you guys know this, but I live far from LA now for college. I live near my college campus, literally down the street. So I travel back and forth to LA when I'm bored out here because, we're in a panoramic, a Panny at the Disco, a pepperoni. We still are in one, just in case y'all did not know that. Even if you are vaccinated, there are still different variants out there, and you should still be kind of cautious when you go out, my opinion. Anyways, and I don't want to hear that anti-mask bullshit, child. I don't have time for that bullshit. If you don't want to wear one, great. I don't give a fuck. I will still be wearing one. Do you want a cookie? Do you want a cookie? Shit. You see it online. People are always talking about, I don't want to wear a mask. Okay. Then don't wear one, babes. Then don't wear one. I don't want the vaccine. Okay. You stay the fuck over there. I stay the fuck over here. Okay. Is that okay with you? Shit. Anyways, I just start this off so combative, but it's like, people, calm the fuck down. You have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. I will still be wearing a mask, and I do believe in vaccinations. And that's just that on that. And I will not argue with the wall. I will find you a wall. Actually, you hear it? That's a wall for you to argue with. There you go, right there. Anyways, so I kind of let that get in the way of my identity. And I also think because of finals and everything that I had coming up, I was just so apprehensive to record because I was like, I could have easily recorded on my phone, even though that was so. Ugh, I hate to call everything that's an inconvenience ghetto, but it was so ghetto. It was so not me. And I only reason why I did that for that one episode is because the Portia situation was happening, which we're not going to talk about today because I just can't stand her or that old ass man no more. But I also feel like, for me, and we're just going to have a real talk, okay? I was apprehensive to record because I had shared so much of myself on this platform. And you know when you share so much of yourself, like Samantha Bush, aka Bravo Historian, she has like a really good term for it. It's like a oversharing hangover where like you share so much and the next day you're like, why the fuck did I tell those people about my trauma from like age 9? Like, did they need to know that? I don't think they did. So to be honest with you, like I was kind of like apprehensive to record because of that and because school was going on. I'm on a quarter system out here, which means we have school fall, winter, and spring, which means I'm in school from September, October-ish, depending on the year, to June. And I have in total maybe 3 weeks break in between all of that. Spring break and winter break. That's about it. So I was tired. I was like burnt out, and I just, yeah. But oh my gosh, I was talking about a vacation, and then I fucking, like, this is how I know, like, I need to, like, focus more. I went on a vacation, I came back to LA, and we stopped here on the way so I could pack more shit, because obviously I'm not gonna wear my thought ass clothes. I was showing out in San Diego. Booty, 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 booty. My ass has gotten so much bigger, y'all, because I've gained some weight. I'm not even gonna hold you. I've gained some weight because, like, I enjoy food now. You know, if we're gonna share, let's just share. Oh, child, let me just get comfortable, child. Let me get my seat. Let me grab my seat. Let me just get comfortable. Since we're gonna talk, let's just talk before we get into the housewives, child. And if you hear a phone or an alarm, child, I'm so fucking sorry, but you know, it's just me running this shit. And people sometimes call me in the middle of me doing important shit. And that's okay. Because sometimes you need to just talk to people. You know, sometimes you need a good gossip chat. But I'll make sure that I focus on this. I noticed, and I talked about this before, I really kept my weight down because of others' perception about me. And I always thought I was bigger because of these standards within the queer community about weight and body image and, like, all these horrible things that are pushed upon us. You know, Eurocentric beauty standards and, like, having to be skinny all the time. And then once I realized I'm a bad bitch however I look, and I know I hate to put it like that, but you really have to think about it like that. Like, there are going to be days where I feel very, very insecure. I'm not going to feel like this every single day. But then I was kind of like, you know, my ass has gotten fatter. And that's a blessing. Amen. Amen to the ass getting bigger, child. Because, you know, my booty was cute. But now she's on, you know, she's a cute girl. Like, now if I don't have to wear, like, super tight shorts to show her. Like, I can wear some sweats and you still gonna see my booty. So I said, fuck it. I'm gonna eat whatever the fuck I want to eat. Even though, ooh, I'm such a... This is how I know, like, I just can't with myself sometimes. Because I love how I just said that. But last week I ate strictly fruits and vegetables, and I was fucking miserable. Let me just put that out there. I was fucking miserable. And then, child, I got some Wingstop, and then the wings were, like, undercooked. I couldn't even get no food poisoning. Couldn't even, you know, lose some weight by that, child. I just kept on eating, and nothing happened to me. Thank God. Thank God, though. That's a blessing. And then I just ate whatever the fuck I wanted to eat, and I had no dairy for, like, 4 days. And I bet you I probably did feel amazing by it, you know? I woke up with energy, not eating a whole bunch of processed stuff. And even talking about it now, I guess today I'll just eat healthy because I don't want to just eat processed food. But I gotta say, I love a good nacho. I love a good chip. I love a good wing, extra crispy. I love a good piece of chicken. I love a really good bowl of oatmeal with peanut butter and strawberries and chia seeds and low sugar syrup. Sounds disgusting, but it's fucking amazing. I love Jamaican food. Bitch, I love food. I might fall out of love with that. But anyways, that's not why I brought that up, child. I'm always off track. I went down there, looked like a bad bitch, whatnot. Came up, I packed my mic in my suitcase because I'm always traveling back and forth to LA. So I have this big ass suitcase. Mind you, I live in a college apartment with straight men, and I will get into that another day because they are the nastiest niggas I have ever. Let me tell you something. Let me just say this, okay? You know how, like, we're hard on ourselves sometimes? And sometimes I will look around my room and I'm like, oh boy, you need to clean this shit up. I clean my room probably, when I say clean, like a light clean. Like, I just throw away all the trash and I organize it. But, like, I don't do a deep clean. Like, I might vacuum, but I don't, you know, pour, you know, things for the carpet to, you know, actually, like, deep clean. I don't do a super deep clean, but I do a cleaning where, like, it's not nasty up in this bitch and it's, like, comfortable and it's clean, but, like, a deep clean. You know when your mom used to do a deep clean on the weekends, and then during the week she would do, like, a light clean, and you would have to do the light clean and deep clean with her, even though the deep clean she really did it by herself because she didn't want nobody touching her shit, because if you did it wrong she would get an attitude. Yeah, that type of clean. So, long story short, pack my microphone because I said, well, I'm going to give people content while I'm in LA, child, thinking I'm some motherfucking YouTuber or something. Child, I done packed the fucking mic. The shit broke. So, that happened with that. And then I ordered a new one after I took myself a few more days to relax, and now I'm back. So, that's my little life update. And I have to say, I did miss y'all. I really, really did. I know I have a Patreon that I need to update more. I think with the Patreon, I'm just going to change it to, like, early access for episodes. So maybe, like, a bonus episode here and there and, like, some writing. Just because I don't, you know, and I'm going to change, like, the tiers for it. It's still the max price I think you're going to pay for that Patreon. It's, like, $5 a month. Like, I don't see myself charging people $10, $20, $30, you know. I just don't produce content on an often basis for that. And it's always your choice. You can always cancel the membership. You can always add the membership, which is amazing because I'm a college student that funds all of this by myself. I would really appreciate that. But if, you know, times are hard for everyone. I'm not going to have these expectations. I love talking to y'all on this platform more than anything else. To be honest, a lot has happened within pop culture. I will say, for starters, Free Britney. If y'all listened to that, and it's online, you can definitely search it. I'm not going to tell you where. I don't want anybody suing me, child. But I listened to her testimony, and I have to say, she's a very, very brave, strong, courageous, all of those things, individual to speak up about that. And I really give her props and just free her. She deserves it. She works hard. And she don't appropriate black culture, and I think that's part of the reason why I like her ass, because she always stayed in her motherfucking lane. She really did. She wasn't trying to be black one day, Latina the next day, Asian the next day, like wedding Christina Child. She was just doing her. And Hit Me Baby One More Time is one of the best debut singles of our time. Probably the best debut single of our time. And I just love her. And I hope she's just, I just hope she comes out of it being able to be independent. That testimony was just, it was disgusting to hear how much shit they put on her, how she didn't even have ownership of her own body, her own mental being. Like, ugh, child. Fuck her whole family, including Zoe, okay? Fuck Miss 101, because girl, what the fuck? I know people are like, well, you know, she could have been, you know, going through that herself, and if that's the case, my bad, but child. I heard she earns her a little coin off that conservatorship. So, like I said, fuck Zoe and Zoe Daddy and Britney Daddy and the mama. How about that? Okay, so let's get into Housewives. I've been enjoying Housewives lately. I have. I'm not even gonna hold y'all. I really have. I'm enjoying Roni. And this is where I had to re-record this episode, because in the episode I recorded, I was like, I enjoy everyone. And then I only talked about one issue. And I have several issues with Roni this season. First of all, Dorinda needs to come back. Badly. Badly. Second of all, and this is going to be very controversial to bring this up, but I feel like if we're going to talk, if we're going to be honest, we need to be honest, okay? I do think that the producers of these shows are trying to cast younger women on these shows that in real life would not hang out with the group of women on the show. Not necessarily because of age, but because they're two completely different experiences, number one. Number two, I feel as though Leah and Ebony have a more of a, now I say this very lightly, because we're going to get into this, a more modern, progressive, I say that very lightly, trust me. I've seen it all when it comes to Ebony working at Fox and Leah, you know, doing Leah, doing, you know, weird shit. We'll talk about that. And you know what I mean, though? I just don't think they would hang out in real life. And you want to see kind of like a real life group of friends on these shows. I'm excited for Bashan. I think Bashan is gonna bridge that gap. I can't wait for her. Okay, I cannot wait for Bashan. I think she needs to be full time next season, along with Dorinda. I commend Ebony for standing up to Luann, and really telling her, like, you saying the word angry to a black woman, it's such coded language. And the way Luann spoke to her really, like, it really upset me. I'm fully team Ebony on this one. I think Leanne, woof, well, you know, Leanne from Monsters of Dallas had issues too. I think Luann really, really showed her ass that day. And the way she responded to it online just proved to me that she didn't really give a fuck about what she did. And because of that, the countess is countless, and she can go scratch for all I give a fuck. How are y'all feeling? When I say y'all, I'm really talking to black people. Love all y'all, but I'm really talking to black people. How are y'all feeling about these conversations about politics and race on the show? Can I be honest with y'all? Can we talk? Feel like it's a little unnatural. Feel like, in terms of what happened between Luann and Ebony, it was relevant. In terms of what Ebony was educating them on way before that, super relevant. The help comment, her explaining why she loved wherever Luann has stayed. My apologies for not knowing the city, but it was the first city to let black people have home ownership. And I really, really love the way she was just unapologetically herself, and she's very blunt and very direct and also very caring and warm. And I love the duality of Ebony on the show, not just being a broadcaster slash lawyer, but also just being a human being in general. But I also feel like, and I don't know if this is producer driven or not, that it's almost as if there's a point to be made. And I don't know, I've seen theories online, and I really want y'all's perspective on this, because I don't know if this is not necessarily my place. Furthermore, I don't know if I'm just talking out my ass at this point. I've seen people say that they feel like Ebony is trying to put on a little bit because of her past as a commentator at Fox News. And I've seen some of the clips, and, you know, I will say this in her defense. As someone that has worked in a space that the majority is white and has a certain view on things, you do have to acclimate to that culture, unfortunately, in order to not only progress yourself, but to also create a safe environment for yourself. And listen, no matter how conservative she might have been on those shows, I can guarantee you that she was still probably treated unfairly behind the scenes because she is a black woman. And it's a very intricate conversation to have, because sometimes I do feel like, okay, Ebony, like, are you bringing all of this up to have like a gotcha moment sometimes? And I'm not even talking about race, to be honest with you. I'm really more just talking about politics. The preview for next week, where she's speaking to Ramona and she's like, you know, kind of trying to bait her into saying she's publicly a Trump supporter. We know who she voted for. We know who Ramona voted for. We know what Ramona is about. That's nothing new. Ebony, you know this because you were a viewer of this show yourself. So what exactly is the point of these conversations? How are they going to help progress the group? Not in a political sense, but in a sense of friendship. How is this going to progress the group? You know? So I think to myself, okay, are these conversations that are necessary? Because I don't think I needed to see her and Ramona talk about Trump, personally. I truly don't think I needed to see that, or the viewers needed to see that. I don't necessarily think she's being divisive. I don't like using that type of language, because I feel like it takes away from her humanity, in the sense, because then you're trying to say that everything she talks about on the show is trying to be divisive. I don't think she's trying to be divisive. I think it was an attempt at a gotcha moment. I really do. Only in that conversation, I'm not talking about any other, even though the spoken word was kind of out of fucking nowhere. You know, it's kind of like, girl, they're doing backflips and magic tricks and back, you know, I talked about that actually on a Dumpster Dive pod with Tom. Tom hosts, basically, the Dumpster Dive Pod is this podcast hosted by Tom Hamlin and his sister. Love them. His sister couldn't make it, though, so Taria from the What Else Is Going On podcast. She also has Wake Up With Wico Chow, and I love Taria. And I love Tom, and I love doing that podcast. We actually had a conversation about this. And check that episode out if you haven't. I'll definitely repost it on my Instagram again, because it was a really cool conversation that we had, not only about housewives, but about race and our just being black people in this world, and Tom being an ally to black people in this world. It was a really good, intricate conversation. I really appreciated it, and I love being on. You hear that email in the background? I told y'all. I feel like every other conversation before that has been very, very needed. I don't really... It's not that I don't care who Ramona voted for. I just know who Ramona is. It doesn't... Like, the man's out the White House. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily know if I need to, I don't know. Ebony did say in the preview, oh, you know, I'm happy we have our first, you know, woman president, and, you know, that type of thing. And I totally agree. And I feel like, okay, on that point, I get it. And I do think Ramona was kind of like, I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about this. Let me walk away. But then, and even though I don't feel like Ramona is owed any grace on this show, ciao. Then I'm kind of like, if someone tells you they just don't want to have a conversation, then don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm one of those people, if you tell me I don't feel like having this anymore, unless I know you did like some bigoted shit or some weird shit, You know, and I guess to some people voting for Trump is some bigoted shit, which I would not disagree, but he's out. So for me, like, I just, he's not necessarily relevant to my life because he's done a lot of things that have caused damage to this country, but his, like, the election and whatnot, like, that's, I don't know. This was filmed days after it, though, as well. We have to take that into account as well. But if someone tells me I don't feel like talking about something, I'm like, okay, next subject. So that's why I'm like, was this producer driven or not? You know? But I also feel like if you're at someone else's house and they're like, I don't feel like talking about something, stop talking about it. You could talk about what it meant to you, the election, which I hope that's why she brought it up. But if it's just kind of like a who did you vote for type of situation, we don't need to know that the sky is blue. I am black. I am queer. And Ramona voted for Trump. Those are just facts. Those are undisputed facts. Like, there's nothing we can do about that. I don't know. I just feel like what I also don't like about, I'm happy there's more diversity on these shows, because to be honest with you, a lot of these shows I can't rewatch because of that reason. I don't like that there's the only people of color on their shows for several reasons. Number one, I don't like that they're alone. And when there's these conversations happening, like on Beverly Hills, when Crystal was having that conversation with Sutton in the kitchen, yes, Garcelle's on the show as well. And yes, vice versa, you know, when Garcelle's having conversations about race, Crystal is there as well. But there's, those are different experiences, you know, and even Crystal and Garcelle have both said that those are different experiences. I also feel like then I feel very defensive and protective because they're the only people there. But then when they do something that might annoy you, and I heard this on Monty's podcast as well, Mixing It With Monty, then you're kind of like, ooh, well, now I, even if they're kind of wrong, I kind of feel like I got to defend them a little bit, you know? And this is just me being real. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you feel like you're able to differentiate the two, especially because this is more of a conversation I'm having to people of color, especially black people. But I don't know. I'm hoping that, but then you don't want it to come across as performative, because when Garcelle joined, I really feel like Garcelle joining the Wrestlers of Beverly Hills really set the tone for casting decisions across the board. And I believe those women walked on eggshells with her. I do. And it was uncomfortable to watch them walk on eggshells with her because I've been there. I've been there and I know her position. I know Ebony's position as well. And I even though I can't relate to the Asian American experience, I can relate to the experience of being the only person of color in the room. So I relate to Tiffany and Crystal's perspective as well. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm here for it, but I hope that these conversations about race aren't placed on the shoulders of these women of color, because then what happens is when the conversations take a turn, the blame isn't put on the white women in the room, it's put on the women of color. Look at the Kyle and Garcelle conversation. All the backlash that came from that conversation went to Garcelle. It didn't go to Kyle. Even from black people themselves that were, which, oh, I can't stand when somebody, let me tell you something. There's a difference between disagreeing with what someone says and then you hear a black woman literally state her feelings about a situation and you decide to coon out and say, well, I, as a black person, I'll never be. There's always that one person that does that shit. There's always that one person that does that bullshit and I can't stand it. I can't, because we're not a monolith. There are different experiences between all of us. And yes, maybe you're not offended by this, but I am. And I have every single right to talk about how that situation related to my blackness and being a black person in this country. Anyways, child. I don't know. I'm hoping that now that we're having these important conversations, that we see all perspectives of it. I don't, like, if those women, because I can tell they're uncomfortable, but if they're really uncomfortable with these conversations, I want to see that. Because I don't want it to make it seem as if these women of color are just forcing them to have these conversations. I want to see you break the fourth wall, and I want the producer to say, I think you should have a conversation with the group about this. I do. I want to see that, because it would make things so much easier to digest these conversations. Let's talk about Leah. Now, I was a fan of Leah. I was. And I kind of still like her on the show. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But I just think she's such a hypocrite at times. How are you going to get mad at Heather? I want to be Black Thompson. Yes, I said that. How are you going to get mad at her for talking about you not voting when, like, with every other subject, you want to be the most woke motherfucker in the room? Does that make any sense to y'all? You want me to be honest with you? I think the reason why Heather and Leah don't like each other is because they remind so much. They're each other. They're literally reflections of each other. They were casted because they were Black adjacent. They gave a more, when people say urban, they're really saying Black, a more urban feel to the show without having to hire actual Black people. I personally, I'm happy Ebony's on the show. I will forever hold a grudge that it took 13 years on Roni, 10 years on Beverly Hills. And if Orange County, I don't even know if I want a Black person to have to endure that. If Orange County cast a Black woman, an actual one, not the Kelly Donovan, which we'll get to that soon, with her crazy fucked up ass. An actual Black woman on the show. It would take 13 years for Roni, 10 years for Beverly Hills, and now 16 years for Orange County. Shameful. Honestly, fucking shameful. And I'm going to forever hold a grudge about that, and I have every single right to. I feel like they just don't like each other because they want to be the only Black adjacent person in the room. They want to be the only person that looks smart in the room. And I also think that they are a lot more old-fashioned than they put on. I do. And I just think the bar for casting, they missed it this year with Roni. They should have added Bershawn as well, because it would have gave two different perspectives. There wouldn't just be one Black woman in the group. But I also think, I think Bravo wants to cast younger, and I don't know why. I don't know why. Leah and Ebony on any other show, if it was about existing as young people in New York, I have a name for it, but I ain't gonna put it out there because, child, run me my coins, okay? I would love this type of concept as well. But, like, that type of thing, yeah, they would fit perfectly on that show about just young people working in New York. And it doesn't even have to be young people. Just people in general that work in New York from the ages of, let's just say, 25 to 49, 50. But when you're on a show, like, the reason why Leah and Ramona don't get along is because they have two different perspectives, because they were raised by two different generations that had two different ways of handling things. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. And that's where I feel like they needed someone that's going to bridge that gap, which is Dorinda. I feel like Dorinda and Bershawn, which I need to see both of them on my TV screen immediately together. I feel like they would be besties, or they would hate each other. And I would live for either one, child. You know, I love the drama. But yeah, Roni, please get it together. I'm loving Ebony. Not really feeling how I feel like producers are forcing these conversations for her to have. Wasn't feeling Luann with her thin ass bob calling someone angry. It was just disgusting. And the type of anger I had after watching that, and the type of, there go another email, and the type of just uncomfortability I had after watching that, especially how she reacted to it online, was just disgusting. I give Ebony so much for handling that, because if it were me, I would have cussed her the fuck out. She would have never spoke to me after that, child. But we're always faced with that decision. We either cuss them out or we stay quiet. And I hate that. I hate that we can't be expressive without looking a certain way. In terms of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so child, I watch Housewife and the Hustler. There once was a housewife that married a hustler. Child, that documentary is so good. Go watch it if you haven't. So fucking good. So I watched it. And after that, I'm like, Erica knew, right? That's what I said. I'm like, Erica knew. First of all, let's just talk about the casting in general. Good casting this season. Renna can go, though. Sutton wasn't feeling the way she reacted to Crystal, using her white tears, white fragility at its fucking finest. It was just very uncomfortable to watch. That doesn't mean that I think Sutton's bad for the show, though. I just have to be real. I don't think Sutton's bad for the show. I actually think Sutton's really good for this show. Doesn't mean I have to like her, but I do think she is good for this show. I think she really, as someone that grew, because a lot of people flew here, I grew here, bitch. someone that's from LA, actually, that's been around. I've worked in areas where I have to deal with Beverly Hills women. Sutton's them. Trust me. Take that how you want. Sutton definitely represents them. Snobby, arrogant, funny at times, though, but rude. I'm sorry, just rude. But that doesn't mean I want her fired, personally. Other people might have other opinions, and I respect those. I like Kathy. Y'all kind of overhype her a little too much for me. I'm one of those people, if something's overhyped, I don't watch it. I haven't watched Stranger Things because they're overhyped. I haven't watched Game of Thrones because they're overhyped. I did watch an episode or two because I was at someone's house and I was watching it. And I was like, okay, this looks cute. But I heard the series finale pissed people off, so I'm not even going to get into that. I watched Friends as a kid, but I don't watch it now because y'all act like that is just the holy fucking grail. And that show is so damn white. And Copy Live a Single. Can I get an amen? We are living, hey, single, in a 90s kind of world. Hey, glad I got my girls. Keep your head up. What? Keep your head up. That's right. When this life is tough, you got to fight with a homegirl sending to my left. Am I a girl? I'm the lady dancing in the video. She was fucking it up, doing everything. She was fucking it up to that song in the theme song for Living Single. If you know, you know. Ciao. Anyways, so I like the casting. Dorit hasn't really done much as overall, but I will say that I feel like they're giving too much grace to Erica because she talked about her divorce in this week's episode. And while I do, okay, so it did kind of change a little bit of my perspective. I do think she was in a loveless marriage. I do think she was in a manipulative marriage. I also think she was in one of those marriages where, I guess this will go with manipulative, where he kind of looked at her like, I give you money, shut the fuck up. And she shutted the fuck up. Like, that's what she did. And I do think she was miserable. But we saw in the documentary that she was served a few times. Legal papers regarding these lawsuits. She knew. She was very aware. And I think she left. This is what I think. As someone that works in the media, and yes, I do, Cha. Even though it's awkward to say, I do work in media. I do write, so. And I've written for media publications and will continue to do so. So I can say this. Sip my tea, child. When people are profiled, when a big story is going to come out, when there's an investigation, when investigative journalism comes into play, like the LA Times article, which if you haven't read, read it. The one with Erica and Tom being profiled. People get a heads up. You know that's coming out. You actually are rarely blindsided. Now, it might be the night before. It might be a few weeks before. It might be a few months before. You are rarely blindsided. She knew that was coming out. I think in her eyes, she wanted to get a divorce to move away from it. What she should have done is make a statement very early on saying that she feels bad for the victims and she can't believe this happened. She should have distanced herself as much away from that man as possible. But I also do believe that he is a powerful attorney after watching that documentary. And she even said in an episode, she's like, I have a huge legal battle coming up. And maybe that's why she was so emotional in the episode. I think she was kind of like, I'm fucked. Like, I know he's going to try to make my life miserable. I'm fucked. If that is the case, then sorry for me to feel bad for somebody. I do have 1% compassion for that. But the other 99%, I do think she knew. And child, I truly do think that she tried to run away from this and she just couldn't. She just couldn't. It just, you can't run away from something like that. It's a huge fucking lawsuit, y'all. Like, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars have been embezzled. Them motherfuckers are scammers, child. Ooh, ain't that just, that is so ghetto. Just stealing money from people. They are some hood rats for that shit, trying to steal people money and shit. Ooh, his law firm. Ooh. Couldn't be me, child. Couldn't be me. Low class. But I'm interested to see how she talks about it. Did y'all see her snap at Garcelle a little bit when Garcelle was like, oh, I can get you a dating coach that I met? And she was like, I know you've been married, though. And she's like, yeah, 2 decades. I've been married for 2 decades. With her spiked up hair looking like she was in a fucking, she looked like fucking, I don't know, Gwen Stefani Pink fucking, what is that lady that was married to Flavor Flav, that white lady? Y'all know who I'm talking about. They was both high on who knows what doing that damn show together. She was like from Australia or some shit. And they both did Flavor of Love. Child, let me search it up. Let me fucking search it up as I'm talking to y'all. Because honestly, whatever her name is, she just reminded me of her. Like, I couldn't. I just couldn't. I was like, girl, what the fuck? Why? Brooke Thompson. No, hold up. 1980. Hell no. That's Pumpkin real name, child. I can't stand. Bridget Nelson, child. Remember when Pumpkin spit in New York face and New York tried to beat her ass as she should have? Nasty. So you spit in my face, I'm beating the fuck out of you. No shade. Ooh, that's so combative. I'm sorry, y'all. I'll cuss you out. I won't say that. I won't beat the fuck out of you. But no, I would. I would. Don't spit in my face. But no, Bridget Nelson, like, she looked like fucking Bridget Nelson. Or Nielsen. Where the fuck it is. I'm excited, though, for this upcoming season. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it gives. And Housewives in general, I'm excited for. And listen, I am sorry that I've been kind of off. And listen, I definitely, and yes, I took a break. Did y'all hear them sirens in the background? This is why I can't. Living in a city apartment is just a lot. Living literally where, like, even if I close every single window, every single crook of this fucking apartment, there's still going to be noise. That's just my experience. I guess that's me being transparent, y'all. Like, that's just, as a college student, that's just how it is. I literally living with nasty ass straight men and just always chaos. Always chaos near this fucking campus. I know I've been off, though, and I really do apologize for that. And listen, I'm excited to have more episodes come out. I do have a Patreon if you want to subscribe. I'll definitely be posting more on there soon. You can follow me on Instagram at JonathanChandler_. And I'm excited to be back. And I cannot wait to connect with y'all even more. And I'm hoping to upload at least once or twice a week. That's the hope. I have to get more comfortable on the mic, which is so crazy. I thought I'd be so comfortable, but I always feel kind of apprehensive to get on the microphone because I'm like, okay, I hope I don't say anything stupid. You know, I hope that they enjoy the episode. Like, I really do put in a lot of thought and care into what I am going to say, even though I don't write everything out. I do have an idea of what I'm going to say before the episode is recorded. And I re-recorded this because I was like, the first episode that I recorded, I was like, this was just not quality. I feel like I wasn't having enough, there wasn't enough details in the conversations that I was having on that one. I feel like I was kind of just skipping over things, and y'all don't deserve that. Y'all deserve premium content, child. Not that type of content. It'll get there, though, child. This college shit don't work out. But just good, you know, cool conversations. So I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week, and this has been the Bitchipedia with Jonathan Chandler. Have a good one, you all. Love you.